All right. Good morning, guys. I will have to apologize to you in advance because last night I felt the Spirit just moving a little bit and wanted me to modify the message a little bit. So with that being said, I don't have PowerPoint slides for Eric to run. So I'm going to run it myself in case I forget and it just, like, you get really confused with what's up there and what I'm saying. Let me know, okay? But I'll do my best. All right, so what we learned this weekend is that during a time of trial, that Jesus has to be our foundation, and we know that we can take on the identity he has for us, and that he will grow us and mature us during those tough times. But now we have to ask ourselves, okay, during those tough times then, what is life going to look like, and what do we need to do during and after it? And the answer is choose life. Choose life. Okay, we know that times can be difficult. We know that our emotions can sometimes go all out of whack, and we can stress out and hurt others in those times. And obviously, those are not godly ways of handling things. And the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Okay, and we usually use that passage to talk about spiritual death and losing salvation and stuff like that. But sometimes we need to understand that in life there can be a little bit of death too. There can be sort of death times during life, and we need to choose life instead of those times. Have you ever been in, like, you know, you come to church, you got something on your mind. Maybe you got into an argument with your folks on the way to church, or, you know, something's weighing you down at school, something at work, and you step in, the music's going, and people are worshiping, and they're standing up and they're singing. But you just can't do it. You're just like, I can't get this out of my mind. You pray, and sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. And that kind of feels like death in real life. Or maybe when stressful times happen, you just, you know, you shut down, and you just feel stuck in your shame and guilt. Or like me, when I was at the conference, I go and hide away in the bathroom and just want to be alone. It's like creating my own little tombstone in that stall. But we have to remember that the cross is bigger. Yeah, that's a slide. Okay. Yeah. The cross and the resurrection are bigger than any of our situations. And because of it, we can choose life. Okay? The cross ultimately has power when we choose to live it, and that's to choose life. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and holding fast to him, for that means life to you and length of days, so that you may live in the land that the Lord swore to give to you, to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Choose life so that you may live. We need to choose life. And according to Deuteronomy, choosing life means obeying the Lord, holding fast to him, to live in that promised land. And Jesus has promised us life. Choose God so that you will live there. Jesus tells us that he brings us life. He says in John 10:10, the thief, which is Satan, the thief comes to only steal and kill and destroy. I come that you may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus wants to have us, to give us life abundantly, because he is victorious. And if he is victorious, we can live victorious too. Life can overflow and be huge. That's what Jesus wants for us. Now the world says that, oh, life abundance? Okay, all right, let's go out and party, let's go out and do some crazy stuff. And I'm not saying you can't go to a party here and there or something like that, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a spiritual life that overflows with real life, Jesus life. Abiding in him, leaning on him, and understanding that this is where true life comes from. Living in victory. Okay, so I'm going to go through a few points. This is going to be a little bit quicker today. I want to talk about three things that I believe will give us life. Now, there are a lot of things in the kingdom that are going to give us life. Worship, prayer, scripture. I think you guys already know a lot about those. I'm going to focus on three others. The first one is kneeling and learning to let go. Okay. One of my favorite movies is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Anybody see that movie? Yeah? Okay. So, okay, who's familiar with the Indiana Jones series? Okay, in my opinion, there are three movies, not four, because the fourth one doesn't exist in my mind. Okay, yeah, exactly. Okay, but this is the third one, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. And Indiana Jones and his father, Dr. Henry Jones, are searching for the Holy Grail. And this is the fabled cup that Jesus actually drank from in the, during the Last Supper. And according to myth, it has some sort of supernatural power to possibly let someone live forever, or at least have healing powers. I don't know if that's theologically sound or not, but yeah, but that's, it's a movie, so don't think about that. But anyways, they search for the cup their whole life, and they finally found it. And the thing was, though, is that the Nazi Germany, was chasing after it too, for obvious reasons. And they find it. And this is Elsa, she's one of the Nazis there, and yeah, no, not that Elsa, okay? We're gonna get to the other Elsa soon, okay? yeah, I just realized that, two Elsas. So this Elsa is one of the Nazis, and she's chasing after the Grail as well. So they find the Grail, and there's this old knight who has been drinking from the cup, and he's lived forever, and he guards it. And finally, when Indiana Jones comes, he says, all right, you're the knight who's sort of gonna take my place, and you can safeguard it. He says, but do not take the cup out of this temple where it's being stored. Because if you do, if you take it beyond this one line in the temple will crumble and everything will fall to pieces. So this Nazi, though, takes the cup, and she, of course, runs out. And the temple starts to fall, and everything starts to shake. And the ground splits open, and she falls in it, and so does the Grail. Indy, of course, being a nice guy, even though she's a Nazi, grabs her and tries to save her life. And he's holding on to her. And so he's holding on to her like this. Okay, and she's slipping. And he says, give me your other hand. But then she looks down and notices that the Grail is on a ledge. And if she doesn't grab it, it's going to fall into the abyss. And she says, no, I see the Grail. I can get it. I can grab it. No, you're going to fall if you don't give me your hand. And she reaches down, and her weight causes Indy to drop her, and she falls to her death. This causes Indiana Jones to fall in, and then his father grabs his arm. And Indy, give me your other hand. But then he sees the Grail, and he reaches down, says, Dad, I can get it. I can get the Grail. And this is, of course, the thing that they had been chasing after all their life. But his dad says, let it go, Indy. Let it go. Not that, let it go. I know, it's been said. We'll get there. And Indy, heeding his father's wise words, grabs his dad's arm and pulls, and he pulls him up. Sometimes we hold on to things that we think we want to keep. We think they give us life. But really, we need to kneel to Jesus and let them go. So, of course, you heard it. You heard let it go. Can't be a youth retreat without some mention of Frozen, right? Okay, and now it's all stuck in your heads from Let It Go. You're welcome. So, Elsa, of course, is the queen, and she has these magical ice powers. I believe she's a mutant. And, right? Right? Okay, so... here's the thing, guys. I actually don't believe she earned the song. I don't think she earned the song. It's a great song, Let It Go. But I was like, wait, you were just cast out, and you're like sad for 2 seconds, and now you're gonna sing the song about letting it go. I could have used like 5 more minutes of character development to be like, hey, you know what? Okay, you know, I've been cast out all my life. I've had these things. Man, now I'm out of the kingdom, and I used to be called a monster, and I've got to hide these things. There was like one verse of that, and then there was just immediately, let it go! And I was like, wow, that was fast. All right, well, it's a nice song. Anyways, Elsa had these powers that were supposed to be kept hidden. But people labeled her a monster because of it. And then as soon as it came out that she was this she had these powers, everyone was afraid of her. And she had to run out of the kingdom. And then when she was allowed to express it, just because she was alone, she said, okay, now I can, you know, let it go. And she had to let go of that. What we have to learn through the movie is that she kind of took on that monster persona. And her sister tried to save her. And what she realized is she actually had to let go of that identity to come back to her family and to her village. And again, sometimes we've got to let go of those identities that we have stored up in us and just take on the Jesus identity instead. They may be cycles of sin that we're trapped in. They may keep us in death. And oftentimes we choose those. But instead, we need to choose Jesus. I want you guys to close your eyes for a moment. Okay. See, is that there? Okay. And we're going to imagine Jesus' throne room. Okay, remember, we can approach the throne in boldness. Picture yourself with whatever you believe you need to let go. You've got something in your heart. You've got something in there that you need to let go of. Might be some emotional baggage, might be a label, might be a mistake, might be an identity that you have. You need to let it go. You're hauling it in you know, like a bag, a sack you've thrown over your shoulder. You walk into the throne room. And there is Jesus seated on the throne in all his splendor and glory. And he doesn't say, get out of my presence. He says, come to me, my child. You walk up and you tell him, my king, I have an offering for you. It isn't very nice, but I want to give it to you. And Jesus doesn't reject it. He doesn't say, no, that's disgusting. That's horrible. He says, thank you. And he takes it from you. And then he throws it away. You wanted to let go of this, and now you can let go. He throws it away. And he doesn't now say, now get out of here. He says, rise, my child, and be made new. You can open your eyes. Okay. Sometimes we need to let it go. And I use that exercise a lot, to where I just imagine and in a way pray a picture of the throne room. I don't know what it exactly looks like. I've got some picture in my mind. Maybe it's something like this. Well, it's really kind of washed out because of that picture. But sometimes we need to imagine that and visualize it. Jesus says that his grace is sufficient for us. And Paul says that Jesus told him, my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that Christ's power may be seen in me. Jesus' power is magnified when we give him our weaknesses. It's okay to be weak. It's okay that we have flaws. Because when we have those, we realize we need Jesus more. And when we give those to him, his power is shown in his victory. We can either live as victims of our circumstances, victims of everything else, or we can live in victory. Do you want to be a victor or victory? Oh, yeah, there's that verse. See, I'm late. Okay, there it is. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Okay. The second thing that I want to talk about is, in choosing life, is telling your story. Okay? Telling your story. You see, your story is one of the most powerful weapons that you have in the kingdom of God. The story that you have where Jesus has been there for you, where Jesus has gotten you through something. Has he gotten you through a tough test before? Hold on to that. Has he rescued you from some sort of conflict? Remember that. Has he restored your joy from deep sorrow? Then keep that in your heart. These stories, one, help us to hold on during tough times, and two, give us a testimony to tell others about Jesus. This is Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah says to his people who are in the midst of the exile, and they're in, you know, they're really sad, they've lost their homeland, and they're wondering, man, when is God going to show up? And Isaiah tells them, listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion, and he will look with compassion on all of her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. So Israel was in this tough spot. And Isaiah says, guys, God is coming back. Remember your story. Remember where you came from and all these other times that God showed up. Remember the rock from which you were cut. And this is a little bit unclear about where this comes from. I think it might actually come from the story of Joseph. Look to the quarry from which you were hewn, when Joseph was thrown down into a well and then he was rescued. We're not exactly sure, but that could be it. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who gave you birth. Abraham and Sarah were the originals. They were the ones who were called to originally go and start the nation. But they were old, and there was no way that they could give birth. But God says, oh, but through me, it can happen. And sure enough, they did, and an entire nation was birthed out of them. He says, the Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with her compassion on her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. And he says, remember the Garden of Eden, guys? Remember when we used to walk in that lush, beautiful garden where God was with us all the time? It's going to be like that again. Remember that. Those times are coming again. We have to remember our stories. Hold on to those times that Jesus has been there for you. That will help you get through, and then you can go out and tell it. There may be pain now, but remember those stories and then tell your stories. No one can dispute your stories. It's your life. What are they going to say? No, it didn't happen. Yeah. It's your story. It's your story. Tell it. My story, you guys have heard my story. When God showed me acceptance and unconditional love. What's yours? The beautiful thing is that your story is not my story. Your story is different. Whatever it is, tell your story. Now you may say, oh, but I don't really have a big story. Like it's not one of those, oh, I was a gangster in the hood and I was living in a gang and I got shot at and then, you know, all that kind of stuff. It doesn't have to be so dramatic, guys. If you've been in the church most of your life, that's a testimony in itself. Because then you get to say, I've been walking with the Lord since I was born. And wow. That's a story. That's beautiful. It may be something that came later in life, but if you've had Jesus all your life, I can't think of a better way to live. Tell your story, whatever it is. Open yourself up to that story, to your friends, to your family, to strangers even. I don't know. Go for it. All right, the third one. Is, oh, yeah, see, what's your story? What has Jesus done in your life? I'm late. All right, the next one. Live. Just simply live. And the first one is work. Now, you may be thinking, work? Work doesn't feel like life. Work is terrible. But Ecclesiastes 2, 24 through 25 says, a man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. This too I see is from the hand of God, for without him who can eat or find enjoyment? You see, we were made for work. One of the first tasks that Adam and Eve had was to work. And people all throughout the Bible worked. Jesus worked. He was a carpenter. Paul worked. He was a tent maker. We are called to work. We are called to responsibility. But that's because God worked as well. God was a creative God, and he worked and created the universe. And he's constantly working for us as well. We model God by simply choosing to work. Now, it says, eat and drink and find satisfaction in the work. This isn't, oh, eat, drink, and be merry. This isn't find life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Okay? And nor is it overworking and working so hard that you go crazy, like I was doing. Okay? Don't do that. But simply find joy in your work. And whatever responsibility you have, okay? If you are providing for your family, that's work, and that's honoring God. If you are, you know, if you're a teacher, if you're working in the community, you're blessing others with your work. That's awesome too. If you're in school, guys, and you don't want to do your homework, you don't want to study, but working there is honoring your parents, it's honoring your family, it's honoring God, and learning about God's world. And that's beautiful too. And when we do that, we choose life instead of death. Because we say, all right, I'm not going to choose whatever else is going to weigh me down. I'm going to do with the task in front of me and live. The second part of just simply living is serving. Going out and serve. Let's go back to our 1 Peter 2 passage. This is the part I didn't cover. 1 Peter 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. And Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God, give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Jesus modeled this too. He said, Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as ransom for many. If you want to live in the kingdom, servanthood is your number one. Serving others is the way we need to live. Because when we serve, we say, I'm not going to choose death by being focused on myself. I'm going to choose life by focusing on other people and giving life to them. Whether it's just helping someone with their homework, encouraging a coworker, praying for somebody, feeding the poor, cleaning the church, you are bringing life to other people, and subsequently, you are bringing life to yourself. Because this is what we were made to do. It's part of the image of God. Remember my foot washing story. When we have Jesus as our foundation, we can go out and serve just like he does. And when we do that, we preach the good news in a very tangible way. I have a niece, she's about 10 years old, and her name is Jennifer. And there was one time in my life where I was doing a blog of prayer requests. And what I would do is whenever I would go out to like a store or just anywhere I would meet people, I would ask them for prayer requests, even if they were total strangers. And I would start a blog, and I would keep a map of where they were and then what their prayer request was. And then weekly I would then pray for those. So there's one time I was over at Jennifer's house, and I was praying through my blog, and she came in and she said, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, well, I'm praying through the blog. She says, can I pray too? Of course. So we start praying through this list. And then we get to the end of the list, and she's like, is that it? Yeah, that's all the people I've got. Well, we need to get more. What? We need to go get more. Okay, well, where do you want to go get more? Let's go around the block to our neighborhood and ask for prayer requests. Wait, so you want to go around to all these people you don't know and go knock on their door and ask them for prayer requests? Yeah. Doesn't that scare you? Why, they're our neighbors. Huh. All right, so we go out and buy some cupcakes, and we go around the neighborhood, and we give out some cupcakes and start praying for people. And lo and behold, we find that there is an adult disability house there, and they need prayer. There is a person looking for a job there. There was someone who needed some healing from cancer. And oh my goodness, this whole world just opened up in front of us as places to serve. And people were very blessed by, especially her, coming to pray for them. I think we also found some lost kittens that day too. Yeah. They were really cute. Now, I want to say this. When we serve, okay, it's not for our sake. It's not just doing good things. Anybody can just go out and do good things. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't go out and do good things. But when we do good things, it needs to be, as 1 Peter 2:12 says, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify God. Glorify God. It needs to go back to God's glory. Because when we're proclaiming victory by serving, it needs to go back to Jesus, and it's not about us. Okay, it's not about us and what we're doing, but it's about what Jesus is doing through us so that he can show his love to other people. Serving is what we do, and is modeled by Jesus. We can choose to be absorbed in ourselves, or we can go out and serve. There was one time, a few years ago, when I was helping my youth group with their car wash, because they were raising money for their youth retreat. And they were doing an awesome job, and everyone was pretty tired, and it was getting to lunchtime, so I got sent out to go to pick up some pizza for them. And ironically, it's at a place called JC Pizza. I don't know if that's Jesus Christ Pizza or not. I go to JC Pizza, and I order my pizza, and I sit down. And I notice that there is a young woman sitting and eating her pizza. But I notice that she's wearing a really nice dress, like something you'd wear to a party or to a dance. I'm like, wow, she's really kind of overdressed for this place. It's just a hole-in-the-wall pizza joint here. And I notice she's got a Gucci bag. I'm like, wow, dressed up to the nines here, just for some pizza. And then I notice that, one, she looks kind of sad, and that she's missing a tooth. And I start to think, well, that's really interesting. That's really weird. And then I feel a spirit say, you should go talk and pray for her. What? You should go talk and pray for her. But then my selfishness kicked in. I'm like, I'm really tired. I don't know her. I'm going to look pretty weird. I don't want a God. And so I distract myself by playing Star Wars Angry Birds on my phone. She gets up. She's done with her pizza. And she brings her tray back over to the counter. And she says, thanks, guys. I really appreciate it. And I think to myself, that's an odd thing to say. So you can say, thanks very much, it was very good, but to say I really appreciate it kind of means that they went above and beyond the call of duty. And like, wow, this is really an odd situation. I hear the Spirit say, go pray for her, go talk to her, go talk to her, but I don't. She walks back to her table, and she picks up her bag, and she heaves this big sigh, and she walks towards the door. Spirit says, go talk to her, go talk to her, go talk to her, go talk to her, but I don't. And she walks out of the restaurant. A few minutes pass, and then another guy comes to the door, and he talks to the guy behind, I guess they were probably friends or co-workers, and says, hey, did you see so-and-so out there? I just talked to her, she looked really sad. And the guy says, yeah, I did. Today was actually her birthday, and her boyfriend came in here and yelled at her and berated her. And then her friends came in here and beat her up for some reason. When I heard this, my jaw hit the floor. Because I was too trapped in my selfishness. I was too trapped in my pride and my fear to go and love, to go and serve. And if ever there was somebody who needed to hear that Jesus loves you, you are not alone. That was that. It was that time. We can choose to live in ourself, or we can go out and serve. It may not be as dramatic as that. It may be something really small. But when you go out and serve, you're choosing life. You choose life. You choose to be a victor instead of a victim. All right. The last one I want to talk about is play. Go out and have fun. Go out and have some fun. I'm not sure where there's a biblical passage about this, but I'm pretty certain that having fun and being just in life and enjoying life is part of who we are. It's part of who we're made to be. Yeah, I'm really sorry, guys. Serving one another. Okay, you ever think about the word recreation? It's recreate. It's recreate. And I love this because God made us into something, right? The image of God. But when we go out and just have some fun and bring life to ourselves, exercise, having fun, enjoyment, we recreate. And we have new life again. So whatever you do, whatever you enjoy, if it's basketball, if it's video games, if it's regular games, I don't know, board games. Who plays board games? Board games. Okay. Whatever it is, sports. If you like doing homework, I don't know. If you like tutoring kids, whatever. Go out and do it. As long as it's not like, oh, my hobby is punching people in the face. Don't do that. If it hurts somebody, or if it hurts your walk with Jesus, that's not something good. But if it's something that you just can have some fun, do it. Have some fun. That's all right. But I want to urge you also to use your hobbies, to use your places of fun as a means of bringing the kingdom to other people. Because when you have common interests, you have an opportunity to create a relationship, and that's a chance to tell your story and provide the gospel. Maybe even serve somebody. Okay. So, obviously you've heard that I'm a cosplayer, and that is the way I have fun. And so, people have been asking, so alright, I'll show you guys my cosplays. Okay, so you can see. But then I'm going to show you how God is also using them. Okay, so, this is Ki-Adi Mundi. He's the Jedi from the prequels. This was my first one. This is my first one. Okay? What?
That's you.
That's me. It's a mask. It's a mask. Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. That's not what I look like on the weekdays, guys. All right. The second one. What? Surprise! All right. The second one. I got a little more ambitious. And of course, it was still Star Wars. This is my Mandalorian armor. Okay. Okay. So it's my black and red bounty hunter. Sort of custom Boba Fett. Okay? Next, we decided to get a whole group together, and we did Super Smash Brothers. Okay? This is where I got my Star Fox costume. Okay? And that's my brother, dressed up as Link from Legend of Zelda. That's my Star Fox, and here's our entire, actually it's not our entire group. I'm missing Pit. I don't know what happened to Pit. Yeah. Okay, so we got the Mara Brothers, we got some Ice Climbers. I'm going to go actually visit the Ice Climbers later today. Yeah, Kirby and, all those guys. Okay? All right. So, what's after that? Oh, yeah. So I'm a big X-Men fan. And my favorite X-Man is Cyclops. I'm like the only Cyclops fan in the world. Yeah. Okay. So, I'll tell you why I connect with him if you want later. But, so this is my first Cyclops costume. I have three different Cyclops outfits. This is my original X-Men Cyclops. Okay, and we actually did the entire original X-Men group. So my brother is there as Angel. My friend Paul, who's bald, we were like, you have to be Professor X. And then, yeah, we've got Jean Grey, Iceman, and Beast. And we actually went to the Marvel costume contest at Comic-Con 2 years ago, and we won Best Group.
Yeah.
And then I got carried away in Photoshop and did this. Yeah, I had way too much fun with that. Okay, I also have this Cyclops outfit. This is his current outfit. Okay, I also cosplay as Havoc.
Yay, Spider-Man.
And then my brother, this is my brother, as is Amazing Spider-Man. And so these are all things that I've worked on. And then my friend Dave Yellowjacket. Nobody knows who Yellowjacket is, but you will when the Ant-Man movie comes out. And then Mockingbird, that's my friend Nevada. Okay? And Mockingbird, anyone watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Yeah? Okay, Mockingbird's coming out in season 2. Yeah. Spoiler. Alright. This is my Pride and Joy costume, my Mega Man X costume. Okay? And this one has gotten me a lot of accolades. Here. So yeah, I added on lights. Okay. Yeah, and nothing makes me happier than when little kids want to take pictures. Yeah, and then someone made a GIF. Okay. So, you know, I'm gonna. Yeah. All right. I'm gonna leave it there. So cosplay is fun. And I get a lot of life out of this because I love working with my hands, I love working with tools, I love building things. And it just kind of lets me zone out and just listen, you know, sometimes to a podcast, to a sermon, to music, whatever it is, and I can just zone out, do my thing, and just kind of pray and be with God. But the other thing is that I've actually found that through my relationships through cosplay, I can share the gospel. One person that I met, he found my stuff on a message board, and he's all the way in New Jersey. And he contacts me and asks, hey, can you give me some tips? And he's actually making a Zero outfit. Zero is Mega Man X's a friend and a partner in crime there. And he actually just finished it, actually, like yesterday. But we started talking, and we started getting some deep conversations, because he found out I was a pastor and wanted to know more about my faith. And we started these deep, long conversations about God and life. And he's not there yet, but he's kind of getting to that point of like, wow, there is really something to this Jesus. Or my friend Tim, I actually met him when I was Cyclops and he was Wolverine. And he was like, oh, and then we became friends. And there's one time he came over, we were swapping cosplay stuff, and I asked him how he's doing. And we end up talking 3 hours about his issues. Whoa, Jesus can use cosplay. And so I'm actually starting to think about making a group that connects with the cosplay community to where we're going to go out and be a light at the cons to go out and just pray for people. Go out and do good things for people there and maybe get Jesus' name out there. And we're going to call it, instead of cosplayers, cosprayers.
Oh, no!
Oh. My brother came up with that. He's like, oh, man, it writes itself. Okay.
Oh, no.
So if anyone wants to join, let me know. Everything. All right. Everything in life can be focused on Jesus. Whether it's fun stuff, whether it's work, everything you can turn it towards Jesus. Most everything. I can't imagine killing people being towards Jesus. But most everything in life can be turned towards Jesus if we have him as our foundation. We do have to be careful sometimes, admittedly. But it all goes back to serving God and serving people. Jesus says this, or Matthew 22:36. One person asked him, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul." With all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love God, love others. That's the firm foundation we need. It'll get us through our trials, and it'll give us plenty to do and plenty to live for when we're in those trials. It may look dark sometimes, but you're going to get through. Just love God and go love others. That's what he calls us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to choose life. Whatever that life is, choose life. Let us live. Let us not be sunk into the depths. And let us not live in death. Bring us up from the pit, God, and help us to choose life. We pray in your son's name. Amen.